Last week, I have been speaking about impermanence and how this, central insight washes away clinging, which is in the mind, and thereby enables the mind to gradually see more clearly. Because as the clinging relaxes and the mind opens, the mind is more at ease, and because being more at ease, it can see more clearly. And there is a sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya, which is called the Velama Sutta, and it speaks about the importance of the insight into impermanence. And that's I wanted to share that with you today. It speaks, this is a sutta about giving gifts and giving alms, and the fruit or merit, resulting from that giving depends on who is the recipient of the gift. What's the insight, what's the state of the practice of that person, and also how the gift was given by the giver, in which way, was it given with care or not. And then the sutta ends with, mentioning that it would be most fruitful of all action to be taken would be to develop the perception of impermanence, even for as long as for a finger snap, so really very short. So that's considered the most fruitful act, even more fruitful than giving gifts or giving alms. And then the second most fruitful practice, according to this sutta, is to develop a heart of loving kindness, to develop the Brahmaviharas, even just as long as it takes to pull a cow's udder. So that's also really short. So there's always these wonderful examples in the suttas. So finger snap of practicing the perception of impermanence and developing a heart of metta as long as it takes to pull a cow's udder. So that's those two are more fruitful than giving gifts. Even, huge gifts are mentioned in the sutta to huge assemblies of practitioners. And then the third most fruitful practice is to undertake the five precepts. And the fourth most fruitful one is to go for refuge to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And then after that, the list goes into material kinds of giving. So the four topmost fruitful practices are about cultivating the mind. And starting with taking refuge, practicing the precepts, opening the heart in loving kindness and the Brahmaviharas, and then last but not least, the most important one, seeing impermanence. So I think that's really says it all, how super important that is to see impermanence and also to open the heart, because that belongs together, opening the heart and seeing clearly, they are connected with each other. And then it comes to an increasing falling away of untruths, which then, makes it even more possible to see clearly, and it's a very empowering spiral. And today, at the beginning of our session, I'd like to share with you a really beautiful poem by Thich Nhat Hanh, which speaks to the coming together of opening the heart and impermanence. It's really very lovely, so I'm going to read it really slowly and let it sink in. Exquisite the rose on her way to the compost. Fertile the compost on its way to the rose. Wheeling my barrow of dung, impermanence greets me in beauty. I read again. Exquisite the rose on her way to the compost. Fertile the compost on its way to the rose. Wheeling my barrow of dung, impermanence greets me in beauty. So, you know, that seeing clearly how, you know, there is no rose without compost and without dung, and there is no practice without the fertility, you know, of the compost, of that which is metabolized as we are going along. Even, you know, it feels so, you know, uncomfortable quite often. But that's the true compost, you know, for opening us up into a bigger way of seeing and into more understanding context. And then, you know, that sense of being a separate self starts to slowly but surely, you know, be composted in the true sense of the word. And we see that, you know, in our culture, we see that when what's going on the planet, that solutions from a disconnected place, they never really gain any traction. They never fundamentally bring about healing, but we need to really be much more intimate with our experience in order to experience a sense of healing and restoration, you know, by coming back to community and coming back to that deep interconnectedness. Hello, I see a little person there. So let us find a posture for meditation. Just, you know, settling into your place. And checking in with yourself, you know, how are you arriving here today? What are you bringing? How does the body feel? What are you bringing in your heart, the emotional state? And the state of the mind. And that which knows about all of this. Just allow the breath to take you into the body. and allow your nervous system to guide you. Drop in and sensing the gravity of planet, which pulls us, gently towards the ground underneath where we are sitting. No pressure, just you're seeing, can you connect with the ground underneath where you're sitting? You're just saying yes to whatever you find. And sending down some roots, with the out breath down into the soil. This whole huge network of ancestors, which is always already there. Just need to remember it. The soil is made up of beings which have lived before us, plant beings and animals, humans, minerals, water. And our bodies have arisen out of that. So connecting us back to the fact that this is much more than just a human affair, being born here on this planet. We are part of a much bigger process we can call the biosphere. or the planet Earth. And with the in-breath, you know, we can breathe up the vastness and the stability of that planet. Breathing that up. And with the out-breath, sending down some roots into it. And really becoming conscious how we are part of a much wider context. And also checking how that. What it does to you as you're taking that in. You know, as we are noticing, we are embedded in a web of intelligence, which is so much more than just a human affair. And how can we restore ourselves to this community with to this community of a much more than human world. Because that's what is the evolutionary challenge now, to restore ourselves to that truth so that we will start to live from that truth. And it cannot be, you know, done by pushing or forcing, but it's more like a series of invitations of seeing beyond conditioning. And aligning ourselves with that vastness can only really be done by opening the heart and being really moved by the awesomeness of this process. Because it's something the thinking mind cannot really pick up. It's a different way of knowing through the citta, the heart, the intuitive mind, heart. And then there's also a lot of systems working inside of our bodies. The digestive system, the respiratory system, breathing. Circulatory system, the bloodstream being pumped around the body by the heart. The nervous system, which is enabling us to sense the weight of the body on the cushion, on the chair. That's the nervous system doing that work. The fluid system keeping the body moist. The skeletal system holding the body up. And the endocrine system, the hormone system. So on a vast level and on a micro level, there is all of these systems working in harmony and trying, to find coherence. And sometimes, we get sick when some of those systems no longer harmonize. And then, when we are ill, we try to come back to harmony by going to the doctor, having some kind of treatments. And now, as a culture, we also, are out of harmony. And we need to come back into balance. And this is much a vast challenge for us. Which we need to open to. Even, we don't have the answers, but we can at least pose the questions. That's a beginning. And that will bring in the answers. If we are asking the questions, the answers will come. So, doing that together as a community, asking these kind of questions without knowing what is going to come. We can support each other, to bring up that courage and stability to do it together, becoming a vessel for receiving the intelligence of the evolutionary process. That way, which isn't manifest yet, making some space for it to land in us, being the immune system. So long those updates to come in. I'm inviting them consciously. And preparing the vessel, that's what we do with the practices by making more space, clearing away some old perception, like cleaning out the house for the next chapter. And then, bringing up in your heart, in your mind, bring up a place you love on the planet. Maybe, a place where you were when you were a child or where you are now. Just allowing that place to emerge in your consciousness as you're posing that invitation to yourself. And I'm noticing as this place emerges in consciousness, how this place also has a love for you. That's why it's coming up. As you allow that thought, what happens in you? A sense of intimacy. Sense of kinship, so see if you can sense that the love of the place for you and your sense of love for that place. Knowing there's many people out there, who have that kind of intimacy with the land. Some are indigenous people who have been living like this since a very long time. And some of it are maybe, city people who are, enjoying going out into nature. And they also have that sense of love. They're also nourished by that. And how that, that kind of intimacy with land is a true possibility for human beings to cultivate. Just hasn't been emphasized. As more and more cities have been growing to vast proportions. More and more concrete has been put everywhere. So there's a sense of disconnection for many people. And noticing in the heart how what a kind of what a loss that is for humanity, which cannot be remedied, with more stuff, with more consuming. And how can we find our way back? Into community with the modern human world, with the planet. As global citizens, as indigenous to this planet. As the self-regulating intelligence of the planet is calling us to pay attention. And allowing that self-regulating intelligence to guide us by listening to it and paying attention consciously. This is something we can do. And this is something we are doing here in this Wednesday gatherings, where we are together, as a vessel, we are an invitation for that intelligence to speak to us. Because we know that this is needed. We know that solutions from a disconnected place will not gain traction. And then sensing the heart. And bring up the image of a child, of a young being, a young puppy, a kitten, a child, somebody who really, brings forth that sweetness of the heart, that reaching out and wanting to protect. In the suttas, there's the Metta Sutta saying, comparing metta, loving kindness, benevolence with the love of a mother who wants to protect her child, her only child. So with the in-breath, sensing the loving kindness, metta in the heart, and with the out-breath, allowing it to spread out through the body. And then allowing, the matter to spread out, radiate out in front of us without any pressure. Then from the front to one side. Behind. To the other side. Coming back to the front. Above and below. And sitting in this orb of metta with the wish, may all beings be happy. May all beings be happy and have the causes for happiness. May all beings be happy and have the causes for happiness, including ourselves. And noticing, you know, the vastness of the mind, spaciousness. And listening into that spaciousness, into the silence. Doesn't end at the walls of the room. Noticing that subtle sense of joy or contentment, you know, which is discernible if the mind doesn't cling to anything. Temporary liberation of the mind through metta. And then the awareness of that spaciousness. Resting at as that awareness. Letting go of the metta and being that awareness. Then you're becoming slowly, slowly to the end of the meditation and just, paying attention to that everything which has a beginning also has an end. And coming back to the breathing process. Constant change. On very small levels, micro level, breathing in and breathing out, and vast levels, cultures, cultural narratives, everything is changing. And staying grounded, grounded in the body as an expression of this planet with its self-regulating intelligence. Which we can receive guidance from. Using these bodies as organs of listening, plugs into the planet. As a self-regulating organism. Of vast complexity. where the thinking mind can't really get a handle on it, but the intuitive mind can open to it. So, allowing ourselves to become that invitation. To allow these updates to inform us. And also sensing that urge to evolve in ourselves, which brings us here, that openness and the interest and the willingness. And honoring that in yourself. And honoring that as what has brought us together to this practice on Wednesdays. So today I do not have a battle. So when you're ready, slowly, coming into the space and opening our eyes, not losing connection with the sense of the body from inside.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.